Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes, dude. Good evening. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I am your host, Steve-O. With me, as always, Nate Heitzig.
What's up, guys?
Dude, it is a Freedom Fest weekend.
Yeah, dude.
An amazing weekend going on. And
killer weekend.
If you're just joining us for the first time ever, Shock Therapy Live, it is our one-hour call-in show centered around your questions. You can get them in right now, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. Whoops,
yep.
I just broke my pen. Also, if you'd like to call us, 505-338-3700. Now, normally, we're going to do something different tonight. Normally, we say, all right, if you call us on the phone, we're just going to answer your call right away. We've noticed a trend, though. The last couple weeks, our dear email / Facebook friends have kind of gotten the shaft when too many people call in.
which is okay, because we want people to call in.
Right. But we also want to be able to answer the questions that we're getting through email and Facebook. So we want to focus at least a little bit on the email questions that we're getting and the Facebook questions that we're getting. So we're going to be doing that. Also, dun-dun-dun, Monster Shock Therapy Live announcement. You don't even know this yet, bro.
I don't.
Check
this out. I'm excited to hear it.
MyStaticRadio.com/ShockTherapyLive podcast,
Gosh, you just blew
every
my mind.
Single episode.
My mind is being blown right now.
Yeah, if you are a fan of Shock Therapy Live and you missed a past episode, we have them all up at the website. You can download them there, and they're also available on iTunes.
I'm so excited. I love listening to myself speak while I go to sleep. I can't wait to listen to myself tonight.
Dude, baby girl, we went international, yo.
Baby girl? Am I your like rap? Like what is going on here? Am I your rap mistress in some creepy rap video?
Lil Wayne rap video, apparently. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So if you would like to check out past episodes of Shock Therapy Live, we've tackled such things as drinking, as tattoos, homosexuality. Do you really want to say that?
Yeah.
What else? I don't even know.
I got you, dog.
Lots of stuff. Too much to talk about now, but mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. Awesome, right?
That's fantastic. Now this is something we want to keep in mind. As we answer questions, we might direct you to the webpage because
Absolutely.
A lot of the questions that we've been getting asked have already been answered.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that down the road we might not answer them again, but we want to keep somewhat of a space out of answering the same questions on a weekly basis. So if we direct you to the webpage, please listen to it. We try to give good biblical answers on there. Sometimes they get a little crazy, but if you check them out on there, I'm sure that you can get the answers that you need.
That's right, dude. Speaking of answers that people need, we got a slew of questions. I printed them out.
Define slew.
I just want
you to define it.
Oh, man. 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
Is that a slew?
I don't know. I think of the Slough of Despond from, like, the Pilgrim's Progress.
Oh,
I'm in
man.
A slew of questions. Oh.
Yeah. I don't even know. I don't know. We got a lot.
Hey.
We got 8 to 10 questions.
8 to 10. Crap.
Let's kick this off with a really good one, actually. We had a question last week from someone who wanted to remain anonymous. In fact, if you would like to remain anonymous, but you would also like to get your question out there, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's our web address. Just let us know, hey, I'd like to kick it anonymous, like this person did here. We tackled it last week. I've been struggling with an addiction to porn and masturbation since I was 12 years old. And I'm now 16. I've asked God to forgive me, and I'm truly sorry for what I've done. What do I need to / should I do now? Thanks, guys. Well, we tackled that on last week's show, and if you'd like to hear the answer, you can go to our podcast, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive.
You have to say it cooler than that, otherwise people won't go.
Okay. mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive.
No, gotta be cooler.
Man, I can't.
mystaticradio.com/shocktherapy.
Do you know what that's called? It's, first of all, it's Shock Therapy Live.
Second of all, Shock Therapy Live.
In radio, that's called puking. That's what it's called. We call those people pukers because they're like, look at me with my big radio voice. And really, it's like, what are you really overcompensating
for? I call it Matt Gentrine. Is it called Matt Gentrine?
No. Matt's got the movie theater voice. We are getting way off topic here. All right. Follow-up question. He emailed us, and again, like to remain anonymous, but he said, hey guys, wanted to know I listened to the answer to my question on the radio. I have a follow-up question I'd like to ask on the subject of porn addiction and masturbation. He said, should I tell my parents about this problem, and if so, how should I do it?
Anonymous, great question, and it's a very important question. Remember last week we talked about a key area of overcoming masturbation and pornography is accountability.
Right.
Having people that you can talk to that will keep you accountable. And honestly, not knowing your age before, I couldn't answer this correctly, but some of the people that can keep you the most accountable are your parents.
Right.
Because they're around you all the time. You live in their house. They pay for your internet. They paid for your computer. You're living a door next to them, right, literally in their house. So if there's anybody that can keep an eye on your struggle and your addiction, it's them. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to lie. It will be incredibly difficult to come to your parents and say, hey, guess what, mom, dad, you think everything's going great. I struggle with habitually looking at pornography and masturbating.
Right.
That will be one of the most difficult things you ever tell your parents, but it will also be one of the most invaluable and helpful things you could ever tell them. Because one, they're not finding it out by catching you in the act or catching you within your sin.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we think we can hide our sin, but it's so important to understand that your sin will find you out.
Absolutely.
And if you try to hide this sin in your life, not only is it going to get harder for you to deal with it as it continues to progress, but it's also going to become worse and worse when your parents find out, because they will find out. I promise you they will find out. Right. So the choice is either let them know and show them literally from your heart that you want to get better at it, that you want to change, that you don't want to be enslaved to this sin.
Right.
And then what they're going to see is instead of being angry with you, they're going to have compassion on you. And they're going to realize, look, this is something he's really struggling with. He came to me being honest with what's going on in his life, and he wants help with it. That doesn't mean that you might not get punished or you might not get in trouble, because there are consequences to sin, but it does mean that your parents are going to be there to keep you accountable in that area.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's talk about the sex of a child. A boy.
Yeah.
Let's say it's a dude, all right? Does he go to his mom and dad, or does he go to his father first? Or for a female, does she go to her mom first? Is it something where, hey, you want to sit both parents down at the same time? Or is it something where, well, if you're a little dude, your mom may not understand this? Or is it something where, hey, let's talk with both parents?
Personally, I believe that it's something you talk to both parents. I think I think it's horrible to put something in between a husband and wife's life that they're hiding secrets from one another.
Right.
And especially hiding secrets about their own kids. I think it's something that the entire family needs to recognize, and the entire family needs to be on board. If the mom doesn't realize that the boy is struggling with this sin, then the mom might be doing things that could actually help him continue on in this sin rather than help him get out of that sin. For instance, if the kid's struggling with pornography and the kid says, hey mom, can you drive me to the library? I want to go do homework on my computer. She might just say, well, why don't you do homework here? That's so much easier. I'm not going to do that. And inadvertently be not helping him with this sin, but contributing to it. So we want to make sure that that doesn't happen within their lives. So that's really important to keep in mind, that we don't want to cause division among a family. So I think it's important to have a family sit down, a family get together, and hash this out as a family, and realize that, hey, this is something we all need to contribute. As I said before last week, that it requires a 100% lifestyle change.
Right.
So that means that it's something where the entire family has to come in and get on board and help out with that issue in that area of their lives.
Dude, and just a reminder, pray about it.
Yeah.
Jump in the Word. Even if you jump in the Word with your family and say, hey, guys, I was reading 1 John. Take it to 1 John chapter 1. That's a great place because it talks about that. You know, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in. I mean, it talks a lot about confession and a lot about getting that out there. Of course, this is talking about God,
yeah,
but if you sit with your parents and say, look, this is something I've been struggling with, it's very,
yeah,
very difficult. But I promise you, when I was struggling, I had a big addiction. I had a lust problem, big lust problem. I took it to my wife. I took it to my father-in-law.
Yeah.
And the men in my life. And Yeah, it's embarrassing and it's hard, but guess what? 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us that no temptation has overtaken you, but what is common to man, and God is faithful. And so that right there tells us, one, nothing's coming into your life that's not common to man. You know, like, you're not the very first person to deal with pornography. You're not the very first boy to deal with masturbation. I can promise you that. You won't be the last. And so you can make a difference now in your life by going to them.
But in answer to the question, definitely tell your parents.
So
because if you're trying to hide it from your parents, and that's not full accountability. To be 100% accountable is to be transparent. So you need to be transparent with those who care about you in your life. And as much as it might not seem like it sometimes, your parents truly do love you and care about you. And telling them that you're struggling with this area will greatly help the battle that you have with pornography and masturbation. And like we said before, it really is important to tell both parents. You know, even though your mom might not understand, if you tell both your parents, your dad might be able to explain it to your mom. And it might just help that environment of trust within the home.
Right.
And you want to have a relationship with both your mom and your dad where you can tell them anything. That's so important. I remember that was a great thing that I had growing up, is I felt like I could tell my dad anything. Being a pastor, I never felt ashamed to tell my dad that something was going on in my life, because I knew that he wasn't going to judge me about it, but that he was going to pray with me and help me through that situation. So you want to have that relationship with your parents. You don't want to feel like you're isolated within your own home. You want to feel like you have people you can talk to and that can keep you accountable both at church and in your own home.
Right on. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, as always, my boy, Pastor Nate Heitzig. We are answering your questions. You can get them in now, studio@mystaticradio.com. or facebook.com/mystaticradio. Now, we answered the first part, really. Should I tell my parents about this problem? And he said, and if so, how should I do it? That's a good question. How does he go about, you know, sitting his parents on the couch maybe, or you know, he's 16 years old at this point.
Yeah.
How would someone dealing with a sin issue in their life approach their parents? Because as we just said, it is a very scary thing.
Yeah.
Like we said, starting off with prayer and digging in the Word is always a good way. But how does he go about presenting this to his parents?
You know, there's no easy way to finesse it. There's no way that you're going to be able to get around it so it doesn't seem that bad. You know, a lot of times we think, well, if I can just make it sound like it's not that bad, how do you tell somebody who's going to die of cancer? How does the doctor go tell that person, hey, let me try to say this in the nicest way possible so it doesn't sound as bad? You know, there's no way to get around it. Sin is sin, and sin is destructive. So there's no way that you're going to be able to lightly step around it and make it seem like, hey, mom and dad, every now and then I struggle with a little bit of lust, and sometimes it leads to bleh. You know what I mean? There's no nice way to get around that. There's no way to make it sound okay. So get that out of your mind. There's no way that you're going to be able to address your parents where they're going to say at the end of that, oh, no problem. Hey, don't worry about it. We love you anyways. That's not going to happen. And if it does, then you got other issues besides just pornography and masturbation. So you want to make sure that you're transparent. You know, that's the key thing that we're talking about, is having that accountability and that transparency. So the best way to do it is literally just say, hey, mom and dad, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
Sit them down on the couch and say, I've been studying the Word, and there's something in my life that I really need to give over to the Lord. There's an area of my life that's causing me to sin, and I want your help with it. And that's a key point. You want to make sure that they know that you're asking them for help. You're asking them for accountability. And if you do so, you're going to find that their response is going to be a helpful response.
Yeah.
Now, once again, if you hide it from them and you take a roundabout way of telling them, or they find out another way, then their response isn't going to be in love and in help. Their response is going to be in retribution and in discipline, which is what parents are supposed to do. But if you come asking for help and asking for that aid in your life, then they're going to respond in that way. So sit them down as a family, say, hey, we want to have a family conversation. Let them know up front, I'm struggling with something, and this is what it is, and I need your help. I recognize I need to change a lot of stuff in my life, and I want you to help me do that.
Right.
And then be up front and be honest with them.
I think that's the biggest thing. You need to get it all out. You know, a lot of times we get embarrassed. We get nervous.
Yeah.
We leave details out because, like you said, we want to make it seem like it's not that big a deal when it is. Sin is sin is sin, as you said. And so make sure when you're going through this, even if you have to write it out before you go to them, so that you know that you can be completely honest. Hey, I need to read this to you. It might even be better if you, I mean, yeah. in your own thoughts, pray through it, get it out, get it off your chest on paper, then you have a resource and okay, well, I'm just going to read this, you know, because it shows thought and two, maybe it will help you get everything out, because if you get two-thirds of it out, but there's still that foothold, there's still that one thing that you're, I don't know that I can talk about. There was this one time that was really embarrassing, or there was this one situation, or this. Get it all out.
You know, and we're talking about complete honesty, and I've found, especially when people talk about pornography and masturbation and sexual addiction, oftentimes they like to hide how often they're struggling with this sin.
Right.
So being completely honest means being completely honest. You know, if you tell somebody that you kill, if you're a murderer and you say, well, I kill somebody once a month, or I kill somebody on a weekly basis, they don't really care. You're a murderer, and that's the important part. So you telling your parents, hey, I struggle with this, but it's not that often, when really it might be a lie. It might be a nightly thing.
Yeah, I was going to say every day.
You know, you need to be honest with them exactly how often you're struggling with this. And I find this when I counsel people that struggle with this, and I counsel a lot of kids who struggle with pornography and masturbation, is you ask them how often, and it starts out as, oh, you know, it hasn't been a while, and it's not that often. When was the last time you did it? Last night.
Right.
And when was the time before that? The night before that.
Right.
So not that often is really four or five times a week. You know, we like to paint ourselves an image of who we are that's better than what we actually are. And we like to tell ourselves, and that's part of Satan's trick, is to make you feel like, oh, it's not that bad. You've got it under control.
If
you
want to really stop, Satan
wants to make you feel that if you really want to stop, you can, that this isn't an addiction. This isn't as bad as it really is. And that's one of Satan's tactics, is to make you feel like it's really not that bad, and that you can hide it, and that it's fine, and that it's not going to take control of you. So you want to be honest first and foremost with yourself, that look, this is a problem. This is a big problem that I've got to get under control right now. And then you want to be honest with everyone in your life, your accountability partner, your pastor, your mom and dad. You want to be completely transparent with these people and say, this is the extent, the full extent of what I'm dealing with. I need your help.
Absolutely.
And if you have help from all those people in your life, accountability partners, your pastor, your parents, then you're going to get help from every area of your life, which is what we talked about, that 180 degree turn where you're transforming every area of your life.
And I would also say, at that point, when you start with your parents, you guys pray as a family. Pray together about who should be in your quote unquote accountability circle. Yeah. You don't necessarily want to shout it from the rooftops to every single friend you have, because let's be honest, not everyone is going to handle it the same way.
Yep.
And so make sure that you have wisdom there in that with your parents, and that you guys maybe come to an agreement. Okay, this friend, you know, I definitely would like to share with. Obviously, parents, pastor, youth pastor, something like that, that's a no-brainer. But when it's dealing with, you know, your quote-unquote circle of friends, you never know.
Yeah.
I remember when I was decided, this is it. I have to tell somebody. And I started with one person, and then eventually I'm pretty sure everyone around me just had to know, because it's so freeing.
Yeah.
You're like, this is great. This is amazing. Not everybody takes it the same way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I lost a few friends. I lost some, I should say acquaintances over that. But you know what? In hindsight, I do it all over again, because I'm free, you know? And so thank you so much for the email question. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, my boy, Nate Heitzig, my pastor friend, my reverend, my magician, you know.
I know. I need to think of a new title.
I think
we wore out the pastor magician, whatever. We need to think of something new. Hey, if you have ideas for what my for what my new name should be, put them on our Facebook. I think I need a new radio name. You got the old man, you got the Steve.
Yeah.
Which I think you guys need new names too.
Oh, come on. But, he's always going to be the old man.
But I need a radio name. I need a radio persona.
Can do. We will think about that during the break. We got to take a small break. If you'd like to get your questions in, studio@mystaticradio.com, or you can Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We'll be right back with a question about cutting.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Follow tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or at 505-338-3700. If you think you can handle the spewing of hard truth, time to treat more of your disorders with Steve-O and Nate. This is Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. I am your host, Steve-O. And my boy, Pastor Nate Heidke.
Yet to be named. Yet to be titled.
Yeah, get your titles in. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. If you're just joining Shock Therapy Live, it is our one-hour call-in show that is centered basically around your questions. Now, as the intro says at the beginning of the hour, that's not systematic theology. We do talk about anything and everything. Nothing is off limits. But as you heard in the last segment, talking about a 16-year-old dude that emailed in struggling with pornography, struggling with masturbation. Yeah. Nothing is off limits. The point of Shock Therapy Live is to, one, give a biblical perspective, a biblical worldview on things going on in your life. Mm-hmm. Something you may be struggling with, something you have a question on. Maybe your friends are talking to you about something that you say, that seems a little off, or a friend approached me about this. I don't know how to answer it. That's what Shock Therapy Live is here for. We are here to answer your questions biblically. Yeah, we'll probably interject some random stupid opinions, but what really matters is the Word of God. And so we will be tackling anything and everything.
Yep.
Studio@mystaticradio.com. If you'd like to get an email in anonymously, you can also Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We got a question from someone who wanted to remain anonymous. It says, hey, can you please not say my name on the air? My question is, what does the Bible say about cutting? Very simply.
Yeah.
So, what does the Bible say about cutting?
Well, the Bible, the only spot in the Bible that talks specifically about the act of cutting is Leviticus.
Okay.
And it's the same passage that we talk about in reference to tattoos and in reference to a lot of the other Levitical law. And that passage is Leviticus 19:28. It says, "Do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves, for I am the Lord." So that's the only passage that specifically talks about cutting. Now, we obviously know that we can't bring that in reference to the cutting that people do today because they're different.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that the cutting people do today is okay, because it's not.
Right.
Because although the Bible doesn't talk directly about cutting your body in the New Testament, the Bible does talk about the idea that our bodies are a temple of the living God. So first and foremost, we need to recognize that our bodies are a temple and that harming that temple is wrong in whatever capacity we do it. We're told in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." So We're told that our body is a temple of God, so we need to recognize that being the case, it's wrong for us to harm our body. So first and foremost, we need to recognize that it's wrong. And what cutting is, and a lot of parents have a hard time with cutting because 50 years ago, cutting wasn't happening. What was happening 50 years ago was suicide. And people nowadays, parents think that if my kid's cutting, that means they're suicidal and they want to commit suicide, which oftentimes isn't the case. Now, a lot of times that is the case and they want to commit suicide, but cutting today has become something that is really an addiction to a lot of teens. And it's a way for them to mask and hide their pain. Basically, they're dealing with so much stuff inside, so much pain inside, that in order to get their mind off the pain that's happening inside, they'll give themselves physical pain, and then they'll be able to direct all the feelings and the anger they're having towards that scar, towards that blood, towards that pain, rather than the pain inside. So it becomes a way, just like drugs, that people take it to hide something that they're feeling.
Almost numbing themselves.
It is.
Wow.
So, and what happens, think about when you hit your thumb with a hammer. Immediately when you do that, you get a rush of endorphins to your body, which creates a physical temporary high.
Right.
Now, just like any high, in order to achieve that same feeling, you're going to have to do it more frequently, more often. You're going to have to do it to a greater extent. So this is where you see people that begin cutting a little bit, but then it becomes a thing where they're cutting on a daily basis, oftentimes multiple times in a day. They'll hide razor blades in their wallets or their purses. They'll keep sharp objects with them, and they're not committing suicide, but if you look at their arms tell a story.
Right.
And this story is oftentimes very sad of what's happened in their lives. So we need to understand, we need to recognize that this is a problem in youth today, and it's not, once again, something that's specific to a very small group. A large amount of youth are cutting.
Right.
And it used to be that we only thought girls did it, but now we're finding more and more males do it as well.
Wow.
And it's something wildly, wildly spreading amongst teens today. I went to a conference, they were saying that approximately 60 to 70% 40% of youths will self-harm themselves at some point while they're in high school. So it's a huge, huge issue that we're dealing with today. So number one, you need to look at where the root of this pain is coming from.
Right.
If you're going to combat this idea of cutting, you need to look at where this pain is coming from inside, because like I said, it's always going to be used to cover up pain that you're experiencing in your life. Normally when I talk to girls that struggle with cutting, it comes from either being sexually abused, and oftentimes they have such a warped way of thinking that they think that as they're cutting themselves, they deserve to cut themselves, that they got taken advantage of and it was their fault, and so this is what they deserve. So they'll write things like whore on their arms. Wow. They'll write things like slut on their arms. They'll carve these horrible names into their arms because that's what they feel like they are. They feel like they're a disposable, expendable rag, basically. Wow. And it's really, really sad to see this happen. They'll write fat pig on their arms. Oftentimes they struggle with self-image. They don't believe they're beautiful. They're told they don't fit in with the beautiful groups in society. So they have a serious self-image and a self-worth problem. So number one, you need to identify the problem. What inside your life is causing the pain? Is it a divorce amongst your parents? Is it your parents not treating you the way that they should, not loving you the way that they should? Is it a guy or a girl that had taken advantage of you before? Is it your weight? Is it something physical about yourself that you don't like? Are you trying to escape from something that's happening in your life? There's a lot of different things that could be causing that pain. So you need to identify what that pain is, and then you need to combat that pain with something that works. And this is what I always tell youth. If cutting really helped, then you'd only have to do it once and you wouldn't have to do it again. But just like drugs, it's something that you have to do more and more often to a greater degree. So being that it's one of those things, we know that it doesn't really mask your pain. Because if it really helped with your pain, then it would take it away.
Wow.
And since it doesn't really take away your pain, it just temporarily subsides the inner pain that you're feeling. And then what happens is it comes back even more later on. It shouldn't be something we should turn to. We should turn to the one thing that really does help us with our pain. And the entire idea about addictions in the Bible is that we shouldn't be seeking our validation from things of this world,
right,
but from things of God. So you need to understand who God thinks you are. And God thinks that you are a beautiful and unique creature whom He created, that He loves you entirely regardless of what happens in your life, and that no matter what happens in your life, you can always turn to God.
Right.
And I always tell girls this when they come into my office and talk about cutting, is that if you try to seek love from man, from humans, they'll always let you down. And although it might be a very difficult lesson to learn and a very difficult way to learn it, they are learning a valuable lesson, and that's that man sucks.
Yeah.
And that's that people suck.
Right.
Not just man like men, but people suck.
Yeah.
And people will always let you down.
Yeah.
So you have to know that, and when people let you down, you shouldn't be surprised by it.
Right.
So that's why we never want to tie ourselves to a person to seek our entire worth and our validation from them, because when they let us down, they let us down hard, and that can lead to extensive depression and extensive self-image problems as we look at ourselves. So seek your validation from God. Lay yourself entirely onto what the Lord has for you, and understand that He bought you at a price.
Right.
You're not your own, and you need to be giving yourself entirely to God, and that includes your body. That includes your legs and your arms and your belly and anywhere else that you would cut yourself. And you need to give yourself entirely to the Lord and let the Lord control you as what He views you as, which is beautiful, special, unique, with specific talents and gifts. Someone who's going to be a mother one day, somebody who's going to be a wife one day, someone who's going to be a father one day. View yourself as how God views you, and love yourself the way that God loves you.
Right.
And it needs to be something that, once again, starts from the inside out, that you realize the problem and you begin to shower yourself in the love that God has for you.
Now, here's a question, because last segment we were talking about pornography, masturbation, and being a youth and talking to your parents about that, you know, and as we said, 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. Well, cutting is something that's kind of new, at least to me. I'm hearing this and I'm almost shocked. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
As a parent, I'm like, what? You know, how can someone dealing with this, you know, as we talk about that accountability with any addiction, needing to go to someone, how can you go to, say, a parent, or if there's parents listening, how can a parent be able to speak into this without, I don't want to say freaking out, but it's like, no. Well, this, I don't, anytime somebody doesn't understand something, it's like, well, I don't understand this. Why is this happening? So I'm just going to shut down and,
no, Steve, that's really, really important because,
absolutely.
Because what happens so often is when a youth finally gets to a place where they feel they can be honest about this, they feel isolated in their lives.
Right.
They feel like they're not loved. They feel like they're not cared for. They feel like they're not understood. And they feel already like I'm not good enough. They feel like this is what they tell themselves. I'm a failure. I'm not good enough. I can't do anything right. No one loves me. So when that youth comes to their parents and say, hey, I struggle with cutting. And that parent says, you're so horrible. How could you do that? Why would you do this? You need help. You need therapy. And they start going way overboard on this. What did that parent just affirm to that child? I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. Right. I can't do anything right. I'm horrible. Everything that child is already thinking about themselves, that parent just said, yeah, you suck.
Right.
So then that kid, instead of being helped with that problem, says, well, I was right. I really am a horrible person. I really can't do anything right. I really am a failure. I really am worthless. And they believe that even more. And it just furthers their feeling that they need to cut themselves and mask that pain. So I always tell parents, and this is with anything that your kids deal with. A parent needs to be an unshockable listener. And I always tell people when they come in for counseling with me is I'm an unshockable listener. You could tell me right now that you just beheaded somebody and buried his head behind my office, and I'm not going to be shocked. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to give you biblical advice on what the Bible says, and I'm going to help you through it.
Right.
Because that's what Jesus was. I mean, look at the crap that Jesus dealt with when people that he ministered to came into his life. I mean, you've got adulterous women who have slept with men that are being drug out onto the street and about to get stoned. And did Jesus come up and go, oh my gosh, you've slept with 10 guys. You're going to hell.
Right.
No, Jesus came in love and he helped them.
Right.
Jesus dealt with people that were a lot worse off than what we think we are.
Right.
And he came in love as an unshockable listener. So we need to be unshockable listeners. The most important thing with cutting as a parent, as a pastor, as someone in their lives is to let them know that you love them unconditionally. Because what they're feeling in their life is a lack of love and a lack of self-worth. So the most important thing you can tell them is, I love you no matter what you do.
Right.
And when I've counseled girls, when I've counseled people that struggle with this problem, the most important thing that I do is to affirm them. Every time I meet with somebody who struggles with cutting, the first thing I do is I let them know, hey, you look really beautiful today. You look really great today. You know, you look awesome. It's great to see you. And you want to point out and pick up things on them of what is good in their life.
Right.
I always make a point to find what areas they're good at and affirm them on that. Hey, I saw that you did that drawing. That's awesome. You're a really great artist. And then I'll ask them, hey, what sports do you do? I do basketball. I bet you're a great basketball player. I'd love to play basketball with you sometime. Right. I'd love to see, you know, what skills you have on the court. Even though I'm a horrible basketball player, you find things in their life to affirm them on.
Right.
You find areas in their life to show them love in. So the most important thing is to be an unshockable listener and bathe them in the light of how Jesus Christ views them. You know, we as parents are called to lead our children the way that they should go. So the question is, are you loving your child the way that Jesus loves your child?
Right.
With an unconditional love that bathes them with affirmation in the gifts and the talents that they have and how beautiful they are and how unique that they are. It's important that we do the same for our children, that we bathe them in that light so that they feel first and foremost in their home, even if at school they feel out of place, in their home, they have unconditional love and support.
Right. I am immediately reminded of Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. It's something that I read pretty much daily, that says, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The best part about that for me is it talks about all these things that cannot separate us from the love of God. One of those things is anything else in all of creation. I am a created being, so I myself cannot separate that love from Christ in me. You know, he loves me with this unending love. And so, I know people will say, but I'm a cutter. I'm struggling with this sin, or I'm doing this regularly and I can't stop. And, God must hate me in these times because I sin and God hates sin. And you got to remember that nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Period. So, man, yeah. I'm opening my eyes to a lot right now, honestly.
You know, well, it's really huge, and we say it's something that a lot of us are unaware of, but it's wildly popular within
right.
teens today. So keep that in mind, that this is something we need to be aware of and to keep an eye out for. And for those of you who might be struggling with this, keep in mind that God views you as a beautiful creation that He purchased with His blood.
Right.
And He purchased you with His blood, so that means that you don't have to shed your blood anymore.
Right.
To cover things in your life that might have been done to you or things that you might have done. Jesus' blood is enough to cover a multitude of sins. That's sins that have happened to you and sins that you've inflicted on other people. His blood is enough to cover that. Colossians 2:3 says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." So don't think about the things on this earth that are plaguing you. Think about what Jesus Christ did. Think about His love for you. So, you know, this is really important. And also, just like pornography, you need to have an accountability partner to really get through this. You need to have someone that you can be honest with and tell what's going on in your life and tell when the last time you cut was. And whenever I counsel somebody who struggles with self-injury and cutting, I always give them my phone number and I say, if you are ever going to cut, you call me. Whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning, whether it's, you know, 1 in the afternoon, whether it's Christmas Day,
right.
you call me. And I want to talk to you and pray with you. And I found that if they have someone that they can call because they feel isolated. So if they feel isolated, they're going to cut when they feel isolated.
Right.
So if they have someone that they know, hey, this person knows what I'm going through. They know what I'm struggling with. I can call them. And I've had people that struggle with this call me at all hours of the night, and I've been able to pray with them, talk to them, and these people now are involved in ministry. They're people who at one time were struggling with, you know, pornography, we're struggling with masturbation, we're struggling with cutting, we're struggling with homosexuality, and these people now have been delivered from these sins, and they're serving the Lord through ministry.
Right.
And it just takes somebody coming into their life, letting them know how much God loves them, and letting them know that, hey, I'm an unshockable listener, and I'm here for you whenever you need me. So it's important
yeah.
to, if you're struggling with this, find someone that you can call on a consistent basis, someone that you can talk to at any time that is unshockable, and if you're somebody who is helping one of these people in their lives, then I encourage you to keep in touch with them. Call them periodically. Keep in touch with them on a consistent basis. Ask them how they're doing whenever you see them. And most important, affirm them in who God has them.
And mean it. You know what I
yeah.
mean? I know a lot of times people, when I struggled in my sin and I had this hidden sin, when I dealt with lust and just it beat me down and
yeah.
I lost over and over and over. I was always terrified to call anybody, talk to anybody, have an accountability partner because people will say, dude, seriously, bro, anytime, day or night, I'm there for you. But then when you're in that situation alone thinking about it, you're like, I don't know. No, they're just going to, oh, they're going to laugh at me. They're going to
yeah.
stop thinking, overthinking everything, pick up the phone and call that accountability person. That's why they're there. And,
yep.
and that is why, that's what we've called. That's what we've been called to.
And accountability person, don't put all of the responsibility on the person who's struggling with the addiction because oftentimes
right.
they don't want to. Call them at random times.
Sure.
Call them at 12 o'clock at night and wake them up out of bed and say, hey, I was just thinking about you. How are you dealing with this addiction in your life?
Yeah.
You know, call them at random times and show them that you care. The best way you can show them that you care is by calling and,
right.
and showing that you care.
Absolutely.
And also, this is important too. I just want to hit on this because we in the Christian community can oftentimes believe that we should never have any problems. So when someone comes and says, oh, I'm dealing with this, we should say, hey, you just need to rejoice in Christ. That stuff in your life isn't that bad. The pain that you're going through isn't that bad. You just need to buck up and rejoice in Jesus Christ and He'll get you through it. You know, you don't know what they're going through. So for you to tell them that the stuff that's happening in their life isn't that bad
you
and they just need to get through it,
yeah.
you just belittle it completely in their life and you're not helping at all. So when someone tells you, when you ask someone, well, why are you cutting? And they start to tell you, well, because of this, my parents, instead of saying, oh, well, that's, you know, you just need to rejoice in Christ. That's no big deal. You know, make sure to point out, hey, that must be so hard. I can't imagine what that feels like to go through. I don't know what that must be like, but I know someone who does, and his name is Jesus Christ. He was abandoned by his followers. He was forsaken by God on the cross. He was in a garden where he was tempted, where he sweat great drops of blood, where he experienced anxiety and depression like no one else in the history has.
Yeah.
And if he knows what that's like, then he can help you.
Absolutely.
So point out that pain is very real and that it's okay to feel pain, but there's a place we can turn to.
Absolutely. Well said, dear friend.
Bam!
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live, our 1 hour call-in show. We got another segment coming right back. We want your questions. Studio@mystaticradio.com. You can also Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. And brand new this weekend, we got the podcast up. So yeah, if you're listening and you're like, dude, I just tuned in, what did I miss out on? Don't worry. mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. All of our episodes up there in the past, and this one will be up come Monday, tomorrow morning.
Hey, before we take a break, Steve, I just wanted to point out that if you're struggling with cutting, I'd love to talk to you directly. You can you can direct message me on Facebook, Nathan Heitzig. Go on there, direct message me, friend me. I'd love to talk to you on the phone. Maybe you can come into the office. I'd love to counsel you, and I'd love to help you in whatever you're going through. And that goes really for anything. If you're struggling with any kind of sin, you want some personal counsel, I'd love to talk directly to you.
Right on. And if you're listening and you've overcome these things, say, you know, absolutely, because those stories help others. You know, when someone feels so alone, like I'm the only one going through this, and then they hear a story of someone overcoming that sin and knowing, wow, I'm not the only person that dealt with that. Wow, this is real. Jesus Christ can save us from these things.
Yeah.
It's an amazing, powerful thing, our testimony.
Well, that's Satan's tactic. He wants to, at first he'll lure you with the sin and say, oh, hey, this isn't that bad. You know, this is great. Then you do it, and the second you do it, he points his finger at you and says, you idiot, why would you do that? Why? God can never forgive you for that. You can't tell your family and your friends like that. You're the only person that deals with that. And that's exactly what Satan does. He lures you in, and then he isolates you.
Yeah. Dude, studio@mystaticradio.com, or of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We'll be right back.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. Leave your comment on tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. You're still listening? Good, because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. Thanks for letting us be a part of your Sunday evening. I want to remind you guys, if you are new to Shock Therapy Live, we have the podcast available, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. We've covered topics like drinking, tattoos, homosexuality,
stem cell research.
Dude, stem cell research, any kind
cutting,
of
masturbation, pornography. Yeah. We've covered the gamut.
Man, so, and we want your questions. Yeah. That's it. studio@mystaticradio.com. This is our show. It's a fun show, but more importantly, it's your show, really. Yep. And, the point of the show is to get out there and talk about the things that maybe the church doesn't like talking about. You know, you say the word masturbation in church and people are going to kind of freak out on you, but that's what we're here for. If you are
depends what kind of church you go to.
Yeah, if you're sincerely dealing with something, if you have an honest question about what the Bible has to say about any and all subjects, that is the purpose of Shock Therapy Live.
Yep.
We are here for you. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, my dear, dear friend and pastor, Nathan Heitzig.
Thank you. Hey, Steve-O, can I just tell you?
Yeah, man.
You're beautiful, man. You're beautiful.
Because you are beautiful.
Steve-O, you're a beautiful and unique snowflake.
Stop it. Stop it right
you're
now.
You're special, Steve-O.
Oh, man.
I just want to make sure. I don't know what's going on in your life. I just want to affirm you just to make sure.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And you have amazing surfer, like gorgeous, flowing, blonde flocks of hair.
I really
terrible
needed that.
At affirming
really,
people.
I really needed that.
Okay, there you go. I love it. I love
Thanks,
it.
Steve.
Are you the lead singer of Switchfoot? Because you look like John Foreman.
Someone told me that I looked like John Foreman. No, Matt Parolo told me. He said, you look very John Foreman-ish today.
Right on.
Yeah.
There you go. See, just affirming that in you.
I don't know. You look like you might either A,
oh no,
be a drug addict.
Wow, thank you.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Is it the tattoos?
Or B, a rock superstar. I think they both go hand in hand, right?
Say, nowadays, they're kind of one and the same, sadly. But, dude.
No, if I didn't know you, Steve-O, I'd be intimidated to talk to you.
Wow.
Has anyone ever told you that?
No.
If they didn't know you? Well, because you're such a nice and friendly guy. And your tattoos are beautiful. But normally, when you see a guy with facial hair, tattoos, and you honestly, if I didn't know you, I'd look at you and I'd say, man, that guy wants to beat me up.
Man, maybe I'm breaking that stereotype then, because there's no way.
But this is the nice part. You're loud and happy enough that I don't think anyone would look at you and say, oh,
true,
that guy is so mean.
Oh, man. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. If you'd like to get your question in, studio at mystaticradio.com. Speaking of music, we actually got a music question from Brian on Facebook. He said, music question. I heard someone say, I can't worship unless the music is perfect. If they hear wrong notes, they think those people shouldn't be on the worship team. Your thoughts?
My thoughts on music in the church.
Yeah, and this is on, it's funny because I'm a worship leader
at
my church, so I'll definitely share this as well. But yeah, go ahead. I want your honest thoughts about this. What happens, say you're at Renovate and somebody's doing worship and they're like,
I don't ask them to lead worship again.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't, I believe firmly, that our worship should be as unto the Lord, and what we give to the Lord should be a holy and acceptable sacrifice.
Yeah, but sometimes the Bible does say to make a joyful noise, because sometimes it's just crap, you know what I'm saying? But that's their best. You know,
you know, and I think that that we as pastors and we as church leaders should be making sure that the best really is the best.
Right, right.
Now, does that mean that if you're not a fantastic worship leader, that you're not allowed to lead worship? No. It just means that you need to practice. It just means that you need to spend some time developing that gift.
Yeah, and maybe your gift, maybe you have a calling and you feel like, man, this is what I want. Maybe that's not what it is and you need to seek that because maybe God's got something else for you and, you know.
Check it out. Think of it this way.
Yeah.
If I feel that I have a gift to be a brain surgeon.
Okay.
Before I start going and operating on people's brains, I'm going to go to school and spend 8 years learning how to operate on people's brains so that I don't kill you in the process.
This is a great analogy. I'm liking this. Keep
now,
talking.
I might feel that calling, but before I use that calling, I'm going to make sure that, one, I am called, and then, number two, I'm going to make sure that I have the skills that are necessary to perform that
right.
calling, that gift. So, a lot of people, I hear this all the time, and it's specifically with worship and teaching. Nate, I really feel called to teach.
Right.
Okay, cool. How do you feel that calling's been ratified? What do you mean? Well, how do you feel that calling has been made known? Has anyone ever heard you speak? Well, yeah. Well, what did they do? Well, they left. They got up and left. Well, then you might not have the calling to teach.
Right.
Now, if at the end of that teaching session, you got people that come up and said, hey, that really spoke to me. You're a great teacher. You really ministered to my heart. Well, that's a ratification of a calling that God's placed in your heart. Whenever God gives you a calling, there's going to be key signs that calling is true. And the key signs to that are the fruit of the calling. So if you're a preacher and you're an evangelistic preacher, well, then people should get saved. If people aren't getting saved, then you're probably not called to be an evangelistic preacher. If you're called to be a worship leader and people can't stand listening to you sing, and they're not worshiping, well, then you're probably not called to be a worship leader.
That doesn't mean you can't do something else, because as you know, as a worship leader, we get people all the time saying that, dude, I played piano for 37 years. I want to be on the worship team. And it's, okay, cool. Well, we have practices at this time, and this is what you have to do. And, you know, if you don't practice, you don't get to play on Sunday. And let's evaluate this. Let's go over it. You have to go through a big thing. You know, you can't just jump on the stage and praise God.
Now there is a difference between that now and back to something else where you're saying that some people, if they hear one wrong note or they hear something they don't like, will say, oh, I can't listen to this. I can't lead worship. There are people that will complain no matter what you do.
Absolutely.
These are the back pew sitters of the church that really just want to criticize something. And every week, it doesn't matter what happens, there will be a note left in the offering box that says, I hated the worship this Sunday.
Right. The drums were too loud, or I couldn't hear this, or that guitar player is terrible.
Or that guy's voice, I don't like his voice. And it really boils down to personal opinion rather than it does really their talent or their gifting.
Right.
So there's certain people that are going to complain no matter what happens. And with those people, honestly, I ignore them. I don't care what they say. And oftentimes when people like that criticize something that's happening in the ministry, to me it's kind of a sign that I'm doing something right.
Right.
Because the devil wouldn't complain unless something good was happening.
Right.
And these people will complain no matter what happens. So keep that in mind. No one's ever going to be completely happy with the way that you're doing ministry, and you're never going to please everybody.
Absolutely.
You're either going to spend all of your time trying to please that 5% of your church that's always going to complain, or you're going to spend your time ministering to the 95% of your church that is getting fed, and the other 5% that complain all the time say, sorry, find somewhere else to fellowship.
Right. And yeah, like his question said, I heard someone say, I can't worship unless the music is perfect. If they hear wrong notes, they think those people shouldn't be on the worship team.
Listen to a CD, bro. Because right. even concerts, if you go to professional bands that can pay $100,000 for a set, they mess up too.
Absolutely. We all make mistakes, but the purpose of worship is we are glorifying God. It's ushering in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We are, and if you're focused so much on the wrong of this worship team, I don't like the way the pastor said this sentence. What are you really focused on? Are you focused on Christ or are you focused on your stupid opinions?
Stupid opinions.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to say too.
Yeah. So but with ministry, the most important thing is that we're being prepared. If you're going to be a worship leader, make sure you're prepared. Make sure you're ready.
Right.
Make sure you do have a gift and that gift has been ratified. Because if you go up as a worship leader and spend 30 minutes, leading worship for 1,000 people and you suck, well, then you've just wasted, 30,000 minutes of God's time.
All right. And with that, great question, Brian, on Facebook. Facebook.com/mystaticradio if you'd like to get a question in. We're just about out of time, so I wanted to ask this one really quickly. We got an email.
We've got 1 minute.
I know, right?
One. Steve, 1 minute.
I was wanting to know, what does the Bible say about deja vu? How do you explain it? My husband says the word deja vu isn't in the Bible, so it doesn't exist. But I beg to differ because I experience it quite a bit. Doesn't everyone? Sometimes I think maybe we were here before in a past life and we keep going around and around until we get it right. I don't know how to explain it. All I know is what I feel, and sometimes it's a really strong feeling like, wow, I've done this same exact thing before. Is it a mind trick from Satan, or were we here before? Is it wrong to think that? I'm confused. Any answers? Thank you for your email on this. And
that was a 1 minute question.
We can't answer it.
You know, personally, I love Deja Vu. I thought Denzel Washington did such a good job in that movie. It was fantastic.
And
Jim Caviezel, man.
Jesus was in the movie.
What an underplayed role he did. That was
right? Fantastic. In all seriousness, Deja Vu, yes, it is real. You can tell your husband Deja Vu is real. It's not a trick of Satan. Deja Vu scientifically simply is this. You're exhausted. Your eyes are always constantly taking pictures of everything. I'm in a studio with Nate Heitzig. If I'm exhausted, it's going to take my brain a little longer to come around to that and go, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm in the studio. So your eyes are seeing things that your brain haven't fully processed yet. So when your brain catches up, it feels like, oh, I've seen this before. That's because you did 0.8 seconds ago when your eyes saw it right before your brain did. So truly, that's what deja vu is. You're exhausted.
There you
go. Get some sleep.
You know, I'm going to concede to Steve on this. I don't know much about deja vu except for what he just said sounds like something Satan would say. So I don't know if I trust him, but go for it.
I will say this real quickly. She said something about being here before in a past life, and we keep going around and around until we get it right. Have we been here before? Very quickly, answer that question. Is this reincarnation? Or have we been here before?
Steve-O, number one, that's the theology question. And number two, that can't be answered in minus 49 seconds because we're 49 seconds over.
Okay, watch this. The Bible says it's appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. No, there's no reincarnation. We're only here once. Deja vu science. Bam! Dropping the science.
Dude, you just pimp slapped deja vu in the face.
That's it for Shock Therapy Live. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did and you'd like to catch our past episodes, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. For Pastor Nate, I'm Steve-O. We'll see you next week, right?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Hasta luego, compadres.
Sunday night, 7 p.m. right here.
Hey, make sure to go on Steve-O's webpage and tell him how beautiful he is, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. It's Static Radio.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.